This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 5:06 on the evening edition with Kelvin and Hezril. Earlier today, there was a press conference by Education Minister Ratzi Jidin that happened around 4 p.m. So here are some of the points. Now, according to the minister, the MOE has obtained feedback of various stakeholders, including teachers, parents, state excos, teacher associations, NGOs, and so on, to decide on the issue of reopening schools. He gave the assurance that the health and safety of students is of utmost importance, and the MOE will discuss with the Ministry of Health to ensure that schools will only reopen once they're certain that the situation has improved. On another note, the MOE will announce the date at least 2 weeks prior to schooling or the reopening of schools. And once schools are reopened, the government will ensure that they maintain proper hygiene and that physical distancing is observed.
The minister also announced that several national examinations will be postponed. Firstly, SPM and SVM, Sijil Vocational Malaysia, will be moved to Q1 of 2021. STPM will be held in August 2020 and the first quarter of 2021. And finally, STAM, or Sijil Tinggi Agama Malaysia, will be moved to the first quarter of 2021. However, the minister said that two exams will be cancelled, and they are UPSR and PT3. Nonetheless, he emphasized that this will not affect the students' ability to move on to secondary schools. So in place of these exams, the MOE will introduce a non-exam-based assessment, which will allow students to graduate from all primary schools registered with MOE, including public and private schools, and then to move on to continue their education in secondary schools. On a separate matter, the ministry is moving to the dates of enrollment for public universities to the period of July to August 2021, and for postgraduate degree programs and degree programs, it will be held in September 2021.
So the floor was also opened for a Q&A session, and there was one about online learning. Now, the minister acknowledged that accessibility is a key issue in this. In particular, the ministry conducted a survey with parents and students, which found that the lack of ownership of devices like laptops, smartphones, tablets, and so on is a hurdle to online learning. He says that guidelines have been provided to teachers for them to employ teaching methods that are most convenient for both students and teachers. Well, we also recently saw the MOE introducing TV-based learning on, I think, Channel 1's TV OK. So the ministry said that they're working to increase the quality of TV-based learning, which is currently airing for 2 hours a day.
There was also a question on what MOE is doing to ensure that students in rural areas, especially in Sabah and Sarawak, won't be left out. In response to this, the minister said that they have set out guidelines for teachers to follow. The key issues here being accessibility and improving the delivery of education.
And we also heard another question about physical distancing and how that would work once schools reopen. The minister said that they might either be split, they might split up students into smaller classes or hold classes in a bigger hall. All schools are to obey these guidelines, and district representatives will be held accountable in terms of enforcement. That's more or less it from the updates and the press conference held by Education Minister Ratzi Jidin. We can expect a more concrete plan from the ministry sometime soon. And as always, we will keep you up to date. We have been, rather, looking at the announcements coming from the Education Minister, Ratzi Jidin. So schools, for now, won't be reopening anytime soon, because I think so long as, you know, the pandemic hasn't slowed down, I think that's the safest option for now.
That's right.
The MOE also said that, well, if there is a date, that it will be announced 2 weeks prior to it reopening. So I guess that will buy parents, that will buy students, teachers, and so on a lot of time, some time to get ready. And we're also hearing that two exams will be cancelled this year, and that's UPSR and PT3. But the minister emphasize that this will not affect the students' ability to move on to secondary schools. But in place of these exams, a non-exam-based assessment will be released. If you have any thoughts, you can send them in. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. You can also call 7733-2900. Now, on the line with us is David Chuck, who was a teacher for more than 6 years under Teach for Malaysia. David currently runs Aris Academy, an education-based social enterprise. David, welcome to the show.
Hello, thank you for having me on the call.
So what are your initial thoughts on the press conference? Does it address the existing concerns about education at this time of COVID-19?
I think at this time, yes, because based on UNICEF data, currently around the world, 95% of school children are out of school. And we've been out of school for the past, past 4 weeks or 5 weeks. And KPM, the ministry, did give out a directive on how to ensure the continuity of learning in school during this strange time. But really, what I think that is in a lot of parents' mind and a lot of teachers' mind is that what's going to happen to the exam and when is school going to reopen? So the press conference that just happened just now kind of clears up the doubt for these two issues.
Mm. Now, one of the key points made was the postponement of national exams. Most of them, including SPM, will be moved to next year. So how do you think this will work out in terms of preparation when it comes to things like learning and administration?
I think for now, for the UPSR and PD3, actually, I don't think the effect will be that much because we've been talking about phasing out UPSR for years, and this just gives us the right time to do it. And PD3 is not meant to be very exam-driven because PD3 is a continuation of the assessment we do through our Form 1 to Form 3 on the classroom-based assessment, PBD, Production Berdasarkan Bilik Darjah. But then what's really different is the SPM, where it's moved to Q1 of next year. I think this is the best solution that we can come up with, given the current situation. One thing we have to always remember is that physical school environment is actually an equalizing variable right. In terms of learning experience. Without this equalizing variable, what we are measuring in exam, what we are measuring in school achievement, is really just measuring a student's socioeconomic status, measuring accessibilities and all that. So I think for many students, and if not mistaken, the minister did say about 30% of students, the past month and the potential one more month of school closure, the damage to learning experience is already done. So by postponing the SPM exam, I think it's good because that gives us more time for the school and the students to kind of close that gap.
Yeah, and I guess there is some amount of leniency seen here, seeing that the minister did also say that, well, regardless of these exams or not, students will still be able to move on to the next stage of secondary schools, right? If it's UPSR, you get to move on to Form 1. If it's PT3, you get to move on to Form 4. I'm assuming this is a move you definitely welcome.
Yes.
Right, and so also just looking at online learning. The minister said that guidelines have been given to teachers to employ methods that are most convenient for both teachers as well as students. From your perspective, how has that worked out so far?
I think this is actually not a bad solution because you have to think about it from two ends, right? From the teacher's end, working from home, running classes, who also mean to do all these things while doing all the other house chores, maybe to take care of children and all that. So if the KPM were to have a strict guideline, you know, teachers must teach between 9 to 4 o'clock, for example, this would cause a lot of problem for the teacher, especially for those with family. From the students as well, of course, the main problem with the students is the accessibility. Not all students have internet with them all the time. I do know of some students, they only have internet when it is at night, when the father comes back from work. So I think the KPM directive of having the teachers doing it in the methods that is most convenient for both the students and teachers is currently the best solution, but I wouldn't say it's the best solution because there are issues where the students are not getting the learning experience that they needed to get because of other issues that is beyond the teacher's control.
Mm. So speaking of accessibility to internet and, you know, computers, what realistic measures do you think the government could take to address this gap? Have you heard of, you know, any other examples in other cases from other countries in trying to bridge this sort of shortstop?
So I'm part of this Teach for Malaysia group, and Teach for Malaysia is part of this wider group called Teach for All. So there is this WhatsApp group that a lot of alumni set up throughout the world, some from Africa, some from Asia, that talks about how to teach offline in this COVID times. So some of the solutions that I've seen, that I've heard that it's done in other countries, which includes using radio. So the teachers deliver lessons on radio, using TV, which we are actually doing it now. Some countries that resort to using poster method. So the notes and then the exercise and all that are posted to students. So I think really it's a time to see the creativity and how we innovate in the lack of infrastructure, for example. So I think what the government is doing, doing the lesson on TV, I think that's a move that's definitely welcome. And I think that solves a lot of problems, especially considering that a lot of Malaysians are covered by the free-to-air TV. But I wonder if we can do more than that, because currently not all the subjects are on TV, and not all the years are on TV. So I wonder if they can make it like a full-day programming rather than just in the morning and afternoon, so that students can watch it whenever they need to, maybe to have different years, different subjects, and maybe to extend the time a little bit so that it's more of a full-fledged class, coupled with notes that the students may be able to get from, you know, poster service and all that. So that it's not just a one-way direction. It can be like, think of it like a teacher teaching based on these notes and the students who have already gotten the physical notes on their paper, in a paper based from the poster service.
Right. And moving ahead in terms of ensuring the safety and health of students and teachers when schools reopen, what would you like to see being done?
I think for normal schools, normal day schools, Sekolah Harian, the risk can be mitigated because the students, we can employ multiple measures, like, you know, making sure students wear face masks when they go into school, you know, measuring temperatures and all that. But my main concern is actually the Asrama school. Throughout the outbreak, we have had several cases of clusters happening in Tafis, where the students not only they go to school together, but they live together in a hostel. So when school reopens, I think for normal day school, the risk is not that much if we take careful measure. But there needs to be a more stringent, more strict guidelines concerning the Asrama school. For example, you know, how are they going to arrange the sleeping condition, you know, whether the beds have to be far apart, you know, because you cannot wear, in school, in normal day school, it's possible to wear masks for 8 hours. But when you are in the Asrama school, you basically live there and you cannot wear masks 24 hours. So I think there needs to be better guidelines, more stringent guidelines regarding SBP. Or perhaps the boarding school should hold off to opening school until we can figure out a way to contain the virus in a more strict manner. Because, like I said just now, my main concern is that people living together in a large cluster and people coming from all over Malaysia, that's gonna be a ticking time bomb waiting to explode.
Mm. So on that note, everyone has been having conversations, you know, across all sectors and industries and just areas of life about, you know, adjusting to a new normal, at least until a vaccine is developed. So how does education then have to change post-MCO?
I think there are a few directions. So the one of the main one is that, so online learning is nothing new to Malaysian teachers. We've been going through training for digital learning, and we are one of the first countries in the world who use internet and have the Frog VR and all that. So it's nothing new, but in adoption rate is not that high before the COVID crisis. Now with the COVID crisis, people are forced to adapt. So it's a forced adaptation of the technology. So online learning is definitely going to be here to stay because we don't know how long will the new normal be, or whether this normal will permanently be our new normal in the future. So this is one way the education will change. Another way, I don't know that many people who is doing it, but in terms of curriculum, we are actually living in a time of history. This is actually a historical event.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of opportunities for authentic learning. For example, I could be teaching, you know, how materials move through cells by talking about COVID virus. I can teach them about drawing graphs by talking about how the case grew and all that. So there's a lot of opportunities for authentic learning. So for students to actually learn by experiencing it. For example, we learn in Sejarah, we learn about, you know, what is the primary source and what is secondary source. We are living in a historic moment. There's a lot of primary source for us to gather. So in terms of curriculum, this is the potential that we can change, but whether we take advantage of it or not, that's to remain to be seen. In terms of assessment, so UPSR and PD3 cancellation will definitely bring some change for how we see assessment. Basically, same like the online learning, it's nothing new, but cancelling UPSR and PD3 this year just forces us to really think about it. Because we've been talking about cancelling UPSR for the past 2-3 years across different education ministers. But now that we actually did it, it remains to be seen, you know, what are parents' view about it. Mm. Same with PD3. PD3 is a continuation of classroom-based assessment. Now that we cancel PD3, we have to go back to some sort of classroom-based assessment. So again, it's going back to what we wanted to do, a forced adaptation. But then one thing that I wonder, and I don't know where that would take us, is the end goal of our education in Malaysia, which is SPM. You know, if we stick with the examination-based SPM, I wonder how we're going to move forward with that. Because like I said earlier, right, even with the postponement of SPM exam, we are definitely going to see some kind of gap, some kind of even widening gap that is between those who have more accessibility and those with less accessibility. So I think in terms of assessment, UPSR and PD3, we are being forced to adapt to it. But ultimately, we have to really think about the end goal, which is SPM. You know, how is SPM going to move forward? In fact, this is nothing exclusive to SPM because throughout the world, we see A-levels being postponed, O-levels being postponed, IB being postponed. So really, I think globally, it's the time for us to think about all these standardized exams and what it means and how do we adapt to it so that it's not so restrictive.
How do you think we'll come out of the tunnel? Because it seems like it is the right time for some very deep reflection about the way we conduct our education system overall.
I think there are different possibilities. So, for example, I went through a Canadian pre-U system where 70% of my work is based on coursework. I think that's one possible direction, which I think that's the direction STPM is going. Some percentage of their assessment is based on their coursework rather than just a one-off exam. So I think maybe we have to start thinking about doing that for SPM. We have been doing that for a few subjects in SPM, but then now maybe it's the time to think about whether we want to widen this kind of coursework plus exam assessment to other subjects and how do we play with the ratio. I think it's possible because some of the coursework, for example, right, I'm just imagining, I used to teach geography. So in geography, the students have to learn to collect data and then to draw graphs and then learn to analyze the data and then create an essay about it. So all this work can actually be done offline. Offline as in without going to school. So teachers can just give them an assignment on that and they can do research and then they can obviously, you know, write something about it with more meaningful kind of assessment. I think the same thing can apply for example, in history as well. You know, they have to write an essay, write a research. In Form 6, Pengajian Am, for example, they have to create a research paper. So I think a lot of this kind of direction is a good direction. I think we should slowly move towards even at the SPM level kind of assessment. I mean, we already do that for STPM, we do that for PD3, but we didn't do that for SPM.
Right. And David, thank you again for those insights.
No problem.
That was David Chak, formerly a teacher under Teach for Malaysia. He now runs Aros Academy, and he joined us to talk about some of the latest updates to come from the Ministry of Education. If you have any thoughts, any questions, concerns, you know, how do you feel about the ministry's, MOE's latest announcements? You can let us know. You can call us 7733 2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.